What I want to talk to you guys about today, as I prepared for this, trying to come up with things that are all inclusive. So when you leave here, you have some questions answered about the congregation. You'll have some understanding of the vision, understanding what the Lord is doing, of things that he's shown us about what's going to happen as well. So I want to get started with this. I've entitled this as I was, you know, you start working through something, you don't start with a title, you just start with what the Lord is telling you to do. And then all of a sudden, the Lord tells you what it's called. So the title of this is The Importance of Being Part of a Local Community. This word community, you don't hear being taught in the church as it's taught in Judaism, which therefore how it's taught in Messianic Judaism, as Messianic believers, community. You look at the early congregations, what did they have? Community. How do we know that? Because when things got tough and they went underground, where did they meet? They weren't meeting at the synagogue anymore. They were meeting from house to house. And in the situation we're currently in, the times we're in, I think everyone here can see a need for flexibility, for things not being, you know, how they always have been, for not having this idea of, okay, things have to be just like that or that's it. Then it's not really a congregation. It's not really a service. It's not really this. It's not really that. So we got these westernized ideas about things. A few months ago, matter of fact, it was one of the last times I taught, my friend Harry, he's a missionary, and he's been on the mission fields for years. We've known Harry for about 12 years or more. He's been on the mission fields for like 20 years in India, in Israel, in Africa, in Russia, Poland, a lot of Eastern Europe, a lot of Western Europe. And he would put pictures up of people meeting. They would have a church service in someone's kitchen. And you'd have people crammed in. And when I say church service, I mean that loosely, a gathering of believers together to worship the Lord. And this is a Christian ministry. And so it didn't matter because the people, they weren't hungry for a place or a building. They were hungry for God and the fellowship that came from meeting with the Lord's believers. That's what they wanted. That at the end of the day, that's all that matters, is that the Lord's believers meet together on the day that he ordained. For what purpose? First and foremost, to worship him together, to give him the praise that's due his name. Amen. Secondly, there's a lot of reasons, but for fellowship, for community. What is community? A common unity, something in common that you're uniting for, that you're coming together for. Amen. So I want to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 18. And this is starting in the middle of the chapter. So I want to give you just a little brief synopsis of what's going on. Here we see Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul. And he's traveling. He's bringing teaching and correction to the, I won't say early church, because it wasn't the early church that's been taught. There were the early Messianic congregations. And he was dealing with the powers of darkness working against him. And the whole movement of the followers of Yeshua, the powers of darkness were working directly against them to squash this, Acts 20:18, to squash this new movement of what the Lord was doing. They were trying to kill it before it could even get off the ground. And I'll be reading from the Tree of Life version. If any of you have the desire for a new version of the Bible that's more accurate, the Tree of Life version is. I know, and every time we're at the rabbi's conferences, we see the people who wrote it. It is a group of people who, they did the translation straight from Hebrew. They're not Hebrew native speakers. However, they speak Hebrew. They know Hebrew. They have access to things, and they came together and did this. It's the best version, I believe, that's out there. There's other good versions, but this one is, when you see the Lord blessing something, take note. You know, and don't come against what the Lord is blessing. The Lord is blessing it. Either bless it with them or keep your mouth shut. Don't come against it or you'll be fighting against what the Lord is trying to do. Amen. Acts 2:18, when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I behaved among you all the time from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and tears and trials which fell upon me through the plots of the Jewish leaders. I did not shrink back from proclaiming to you anything that was profitable, teaching you publicly as well as from house to house, testifying to both Jewish and Greek people, repentance to God and trust in our Lord Yeshua. And now, look, bound by the Ruach, I am going to Jerusalem." And I want to focus on this part of the scripture right here. "Not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Ruach HaKodesh bears witness to me from city to city, saying that bondage and afflictions await me." So I want to focus on this idea of not knowing what will happen, not knowing the future except to go, to move forward, to move forward. I tell everyone, move. What's going on? Well, this is going on, that's going on, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Pick up and move forward and keep on moving forward. That's it. Don't stop. Don't get stuck. There was a song that was made popular by Ron Canole in the 90s. And he came to our congregation in San Diego, and he did like a concert there and sung the song. And the lyrics of the song said, "If you catch hell, don't hold it. And if you're going through hell, don't stop." And it had a real ba-da-da, ba-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. And man, the whole place was going nuts. But you know, when you left there, you thought about that. It's like, yeah, I'm catching hell. I'm not going to hold it. I'm going through. I'm not going to stop. Keep moving forward. No matter what. Amen? So this idea of not knowing what will happen, not knowing the future except to go, to move forward, because the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, bears witness to your spirit to do so. So we find ourselves in a similar position, being called by the Lord to continue on, moving deeper in Him, moving deeper in proclaiming His word with ever-present threat of opposition. But we keep moving forward. Hallelujah. Through all these things that have been going on the last several months, we've had great opportunity to quit, to stop. And, you know, the Lord had been preparing us for this day. It may not look exactly how maybe we thought or how some said, but the Lord knew. And that's kind of our testimony, is that we're going to keep going forward, not knowing, except knowing that the Lord said go, so go, and trust Him. Amen? Amen. So it's imperative that we are a part of a local body of believers, just like they were in the early days, when chaos reigned, when people were coming after them, when the synagogues that they left, those same people, their friends and family, guess what they were doing? Coming after them too. There's a scripture that I talked to someone about this a week or so ago. The scripture that talks about when they're in the early congregation, they were dealing with people who wanted to marry someone who wasn't a believer. And they were in particular dealing with a husband and a wife, where one of them was a believer and the other one wasn't. And what was happening was that in the congregations, these early congregations, you had people coming out of the synagogue and the husband would receive Messiah, but the wife wouldn't. And so it was taught, well, hey, husband, don't leave your wife because of this. Because you have received Messiah, she's covered by you, or vice versa. That's what it was referring to. It had nothing to do or little to do with this idea of marrying someone who's an unbeliever. That being said, I don't suggest that either. If someone is an unbeliever and you're a believer, then you're not equally yoked. That's a different scripture. But this idea of dealing with someone who doesn't believe, who you were like this with, just days ago, weeks ago, months ago, now all of a sudden you're in a position where you're almost fleeing, but led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's the important thing. And so it's been a while since we've all met in person, and since then, we've watched some pastors and rabbis that, you know, we've enjoyed watching, that we've received from over the years. And I'm sure many of you have done the same during this time. You know, the internet, you can get on and find all kinds of good things. But as much as I've received from any of these men, you know, there's nothing like being part of a local congregation or a local body. Nothing like it at all. Now, I want to talk about some benefits of being part of a local community of Messianic believers. And these are just personal things that we've dealt with over the past few months, but just in general. When you have a loved one get sick or die, or you lose a job, or you're dealing with life issues, guess what? The rabbi or the pastor that you've been watching on the internet or on TV, as much of a blessing as they may be to you, they're not there to help you. They're not there to take your call. Hallelujah. But as leaders of the congregation, we will be there to help you. Most of you here, we have ministered to in some form or fashion over the times we've known you. And we want to be a congregation of love and help, of fellowship, of prayer. We want to do what the Lord has commanded us to do to the best of our abilities and bring people in with the same mindset. Hallelujah. And all of you here, because we have personal relationships with you in one way or another, and we are being led by the Spirit of peace and the Ruach to assemble, I believe he's dealing with you guys the same way. You wouldn't be here if the Lord didn't tell you to be here. If the Lord didn't, you know, tell you to do something without knowing, to make a decision without seeing. You know, the Lord always gives you, he'll give you that much. You know, if you think about this idea of like a pie, he'll give you a little slice of the pie. And man, you don't even know what flavor the pie is. You don't even know what flavor the pie is. You don't know if you like, I don't like cherry pie. I hope you didn't bring a cherry pie. If you did, oh, you wonder, you did? How, Lord, you answered my prayers. But you know what? So you take a piece of this pie without knowing what it is, hoping that it's your favorite pie, whatever it is, and you get your least favorite. But you don't know. But you know, the Lord says, take that slice of the pie and eat it. Because eventually you're going to get more and more slices of the pie. After you get a few slices, you know what it is. You know what it tastes like. Maybe you continue to eat the pie and you get a piece of fruit that is not as good in the pie. But you continue to eat the pie. You continue to move forward with what the Lord told you to do, not knowing. So this is what the Rabbi Shaul was dealing with. With all kinds of mayhem going on in the congregation, then he has to deal with not only the Jews. He's way out now in Asia, in Turkey. He's dealing with a bunch of pagan Gentiles who are coming in, and the Lord is having come in. And the Jews are looking like, oh my gosh, these guys are like barbarians. And they have to gradually start working with the biggest things they're doing wrong and start working them down. But he's getting it from both sides. No one's happy. The Lord has to send him all the way out there to deal with these things. And he's going literally from house to house, from congregation to congregation, dealing with this kind of thing. And I keep wanting to say house to house because I'm every rabbi that I know right now, and I'm in contact with quite a few, none of their congregations look anything like they did before this all happened. I can tell you Rabbi Kahn, for instance, okay, probably the biggest, most famous of them. They haven't even met yet again. Thank God he's got a big ministry to do other things online, but he hasn't even met yet. And the people, a lot of the people there have scattered because people, if you don't have a place to meet and get together, you know, it's nice to watch, you know, Rabbi Goldberg and Timbuktu. But guess if something happens, he's not there. You go look at his channel and, oh my gosh, I just watched him yesterday. He's gone. I got a problem. What are we going to do? It's important to have a family, a community of people. Hallelujah. So I want to just talk to you about the Lord. He has shown us over the last few months just great things concerning our congregation, concerning what we're doing. He has shown us many other people coming that we've never met, that are waiting for us to meet and open up. There's a lot of people who have, this whole deal has shaken people to the point where they're ready to be part of a Messianic congregation that the Lord has been telling them to do for a while. Or things that were, had them right on the fence, this shaking has knocked them off the fence. There's a lot of movement. This whole idea of business as usual, it just, it doesn't exist. And I say that because we're going to have a lot of new people once we get open and start going, who are going to come and be a part. And I'm appreciative of all you guys being here and being a part of this from the beginning. You know, we've been part of quite a few congregational startups, and the people who start with you aren't, you know, months down the road, not everyone's there. So we love you guys. We appreciate the support you've given us so far and today and moving forward. But at the same time, the Lord is so good. He's so good to all of us. He's so good to all of us to meet all of our needs. Amen. So we shall continue to be blessed and grow as the Lord adds to this congregation. And I want to make note of something else that was going on in the early congregations. They grew by personal relationship, by a person bringing in their family, a friend, a stranger you may have met at the market or pumping gas. People within the congregation were kept the same way. You know, there's a saying in the church that if you catch a fish with a worm, then to keep the fish, you got to keep feeding it worms. So the church is coming with all these gimmicks to try and, oh, we got to get all these people. And that means success because we got all these people. That doesn't mean success. It means you got a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of pagan religions that have a lot of people. A lot of people gathering and meeting. That means nothing, but they have a lot of people. And so the reason you guys are here is because we have relationships with all of you guys. And that's how we're going to move forward, is by relationship with people. We're not doing some, you name it, kind of thing to draw people or to get people. That's not how the Lord is leading. That is not how the Lord has got us here. And that's not how we're going to continue. But now that we're able to meet again, we're looking forward to the new day, to the new things that the Lord is going to do, that he is doing in us. Amen. And as leaders of the congregation, I have one thing to ask you in particular, to pray for us. In particular, I'd like you to pray for us according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. So it says, finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread quickly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Also pray that we may be rescued from perverse and evil people. One version says that we may be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. That's what probably a lot of your versions say. And it continues, it says, for not all are trustworthy. But the Lord is trustworthy, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will keep doing what he commanded. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Messiah. Hallelujah. And also pray this for one another. And pray this for yourself. Hallelujah. You know, if you're not at peace personally, it'll be hard for you to be a vessel of peace to others. And in closing, I just want to read a few things here. In life, there are thousands of problems that we all face. There are thousands of opportunities to get discouraged, to get distressed, to get depressed, anxious, nervous, even scared. When these things happen, I pray that they will cause you to run to the community, not away from it. People run into problems, and the first thing they do is leave the congregation because they're embarrassed. You know, and I get it. Ashamed. You fill in the blank. We're not going to be a congregation that's like that. We're a congregation that thinks the best of one another, prays for one another, stands together with one another, uplifts one another. Amen.
Amen.
When the Lord started us out in this whole journey, we knew we would have a congregation at some point, and that was our focus. You know, we love everybody who we know. You know, and what we're praying for is to continue to do what the Lord has told us to do. We're here to unite. That's the message. That's the message here. Hallelujah.